This is K-12 Tech Talk.
K-12 Tech Talk.
The podcast by K-12 Techs for K-12 Techs. Real conversations, real arguments, and real banter on trending K-12 technology topics and issues.
Live from NTP Studios. I don't know why it's me doing this introduction, Mark, but...
Sounds different.
Yeah, it doesn't sound quite right, but this is K-12 Tech Talk. With me to my left is Mark.
Hello.
And Josh took the night off, which I get it. It's been me taking off for some time now. Josh wanted a break.
Yeah, no, we miss Josh. He never takes time off, so it's good for him to take a little break this week.
So how's it going, buddy?
Good. This is the first time we've talked since COSIN.
Yeah, I was just filling you in about the first outside of Missouri, outside of the Midwest K-12 Tech Pro meetup. We went to San Diego, myself and Rooks. That's on K-12 Tech Pro. Had a great time with some Californians and a Hawaiian, but glad to be back in Missouri here for a little bit at least.
Definitely.
And I'll go ahead and plug this. We have, I say that because we're going to, you and I are going to take on DC. We're going to go to the A4L Summit, April 30th through May 2nd in Arlington, Virginia. It's a unique conference that brings together experts, thought leaders, and enthusiasts to delve into the intersection of technology, data, and privacy in the education sector.
You know what? I got some privacy stuff coming up in the news section, so this will be fun.
California was awesome. I cut you off when you were asking me that.
Yeah.
I ate some great tacos, walked around. I think it was a bay. I think it was maybe San Diego Bay. Weather was colder than I thought it was going to be. I thought I was just going to be wearing shorts the whole time, and that wasn't the case. It was good stuff. And then I had this whole, you can get on Twitter and see some things I said. Our flight got canceled on the way home.
Oh.
It was the worst, for sure, top three worst customer service experiences I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
Well,
and that is exactly the reason why the FAA just passed that new rule, because of the experience you went through.
Yeah, you sent me that link. Someone else did as well. Made me feel like really good about the experience I just had.
But that was, you know, you were part of the revolution.
Part of the change.
Your process, your I don't know how to describe what you went through, but that was the tipping point for the FAA. They said that we got to do something. Time to get him a refund.
You get on Twitter, get on X to see who I was tweeting at. I don't think I'm going to say it on the podcast just for fun, just because I really do need, like, if you're watching this on YouTube, my face is probably going to turn red, but our flight gets canceled and that's whatever. I'm in the line to get to the counter to get everything squared away, right? There's a representative of the airline that is going through the line to give us instructions before we get to the counter. And she tells me to get into the app and to do some actions within the app to facilitate, expedite the line. I'm a tech guy. I can help expedite.
Makes sense.
I'm in the app. Not everybody in here is with it, hip with the app.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do this thing. And she says, if you do the thing in the app, then when you get to the counter, they're going to hotel voucher will happen because it's late at night. Mm-hmm. And even a food voucher. And we're getting, you know, I was trying to get home. My daughter's had a dance competition till the next day. So it's a bummer about the flight getting canceled. But we can figure this thing out, whatever. So I get in the app. I do the thing that she tells me to do. I was still feeling the vibes of K-12 Tech Pro meetup. Like, I'm in good spirits. I kind of got my Chris character on. Being a little bit extra. I'm telling the people that I'm in front of, like, I plan on going up there and being like super nice. Cause there's like a guy slamming his fist on the counter. Like, there's all kinds of stuff going on, but I told these people, like, I'm going to go up there and just be like super nice. That's my vibe. So I went up there. They looked me up and they're like, oh, did you do that in the app? Yeah. They went and got a supervisor, and then he came over and he said, because you did that in the app, we can't help you here at the counter. And it's just over for you.
Was the person who told you to cancel on the app, did you see that person running towards the exits of the airport? That was not actually an employee.
She was actually cool. She slowly came towards me because she saw that something bad was happening.
Uh-oh.
And then, again, there's a long story here that this has already been a long story, but in front of me is supervisor and this lady, and she says in front of me to her boss, I told him wrong. This is my mistake. And then he looked at me and said, because you canceled it in the app, we can't help you. There was never like a sorry or like any acknowledgement. Like, it was crazy.
I feel like that's a guy that has worked 30 years at that desk.
He was like, there was no face. There was just sentences out of his mouth. And then like they at one point had me like write down my name and stuff on this piece of paper. And they went into the back. And I think they thought I would just like leave, but I just stood there. And like the girls were looking at me, and she was like, so you'll get an email later with the decision on your account. And I was like, well, I have time. I'll just wait.
I have nowhere to go. Because you guys didn't go to the hotel.
And then a person came back out and said it was denied. And then the girl that told me wrong, at one point, she said, I'll pay out of pocket.
Whoa.
Super nice. But I was picked, right? So I didn't even talk to her. I just, if you're watching on YouTube, I just went.
Aw. For the listeners out there, Chris gave the palm.
Yeah, I just.
To this woman who just offered her paycheck to you.
I'm not taking your money, lady. Okay, just don't even talk to me. Like, don't do this kindness thing to me. And I lost.
Wow.
And I went back over to Rooks. And he was like, I could hear you. And we were pretty far away, whatever. Anyways, we got through all that mess. My wife had looked up on Twitter that people tweet at this airline a lot and seem to get some results.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did that. They told me to send them a DM. This is a crazy story to unpack via DM. But I did it. They ended up giving me, I kind of won, but it's a travel voucher.
Oh, see, that's the new change. They owe you cash now. Cash, but money. They owe you a refund. Not a voucher.
I guess I should say this at the very end of it. This can make you feel good for me. We got a refund.
Okay.
And we got some travel voucher for that airline that I never want to use again. That was after all the, so like, it's true. If you, for all the Karens that listen, if you throw a fit on social media, it does stuff.
Did you get your travel vouchers like equivalent to what you had to pay for a hotel?
No. Close.
Oh. Okay.
Like, I feel, you know, yes, I did.
Okay.
I did not get travel vouchers equivalency of how expensive the rebooked flight was the day before. Hmm. Like, that is definitely not what happened. But
Josh and I were getting live streamed feeds of this whole thing as it was breaking down. And it was one of those things that, like, I know that this episode is going to be dedicated pretty heavily to this experience.
It was so bad. It was so bad. Aww. And then like you're trying to like, you know, I'm trying to like rise above it or whatever, but I'm like, this is terrible. Wow. Well, and then there's some crazy stuff too. Now that we're, I mean, I'm just going to tell the long story. The girl.
Oh, we haven't gotten to the long story?
No, we haven't. The girl that told me wrong. Okay. If you, it was like a movie. if you like flash back to my arrival at the airport, when I was talking to her at the very beginning, when she was actually the person that checked my bags, and she tried telling me that, so we had this deal, we were going to go from San Diego to Vegas to home. That was the quickest, path home. And she tried telling me that when I get to Vegas, I have to go pick up my checked bags, even though it was a transfer. And it was a weird conversation, right? And then I was confused by that. And then this lady walks by and she's like, hey, make sure you put the green tags on. And I was like, hey, when I get to Vegas, I don't have to like pick up my bag. And she's like, oh no. That girl,
oh no.
The same girl that told me wrong in the app is the same girl that told me wrong with the luggage. Okay. And then when our flight got canceled, I walked up to this front counter and there was this, I was like, hey, where am I supposed to go to get my luggage? And there was this guy that was like, Carousel 13. And he was like, complete jerk. Okay. And then he like turned and didn't look at me anymore. When I got to the counter, a different counter, to try to get my money, it was that same guy.
Oh.
So the same two players with the airline that were at different places, they just keep transferring these two people all over the place. Like, I could have told you from the moment we started the departure that things were going bad, and it just completely continued on with not going well. But I'm back. It's fine.
I think we're going to have to do one of those like a few moments later.
And then I decided I'm going to take my family to Alaska using the travel vouchers given by the airline.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but at least you're back. We're good.
I'm back. Okay. And that segment was brought to you by ClassLink. Visit classlink.com to get started with all that they do. They do Launchpad, analytics, Security Center, OneSync, roster stuff, all that good stuff. How'd you like that, Mark?
I think it was fine. I will allow ClassLink to offer their opinion on that wonderful transition.
All right, you got some news for us?
I do. We haven't done the news in a while. So, well, we haven't actually been together in a while. So maybe that's part of the problem.
Been a while.
So it's been a while. News. Let's talk funding for a second. There is a grant, an annual grant that comes out. It's the COPS SVPP grant. It is about school safety. And while a lot of these things are not necessarily for us, there are some things in here that we need to at least be aware of. So what I would recommend doing, if you're not familiar with this, is look this one up, COPS SVPP. It stands for School Violence Prevention Program. And I would recommend checking in with your safety team to see if they're going to be applying for this. One of the things I said, or that I did, it was like, I sent it to my safety people and said, hey, here's an interesting grant. Are you interested in applying for this? To kind of let them know, like,
yep,
I want to be included if you're going to be doing anything related to technology, because there are some things that impact your world and there's some things that don't. So just so you're aware, the grant can be used for traditional door entry systems, key lock. It can be used for intercoms, PA systems. It can be used for security camera systems. Obviously, metal detectors, traditional physical security. And this is one thing to pay really close attention to, which is like a big trend right now, are these notification automated alert systems. So I would look up the grant to see exactly what this is for, but you know, notification automated alert systems has a variety of different things that could fall into that. So you could look at messaging things, you could be looking at PAs, you could look at alarms, panic buttons, those kinds of things. So a lot of those categories impact IT. Check in with your safety and security folks to see if they're interested in the School Violence Protection Program grant, because there is big money coming out.
And it's a legit grant. I've had colleagues apply for that and get it, and it's done great things with school safety for their school district.
It does. It does. And grants are due, I think, mid-June. So I would just say early June, while I take a look at the exact date. But make sure that you know the exact deadline and know what you're going to be looking for. You applying, Chris?
My safety director sent me the information asking if I was going to. I think I've applied for this one. It was either last year or year before, and I did not get it. But I had neighboring school districts that did get it. So I don't think it was for naught of. It's not like one of those grants that everybody applies and it's not really that much money when you cut it out. It's just they, I mean, they pick so many, they have so much money to give. But it, they, my neighbors that got it, like they got some good stuff out of it. So I don't, my answer is I don't know yet.
Okay. It is, you mentioned it's a lot of money. There's $73 million and districts can receive up to $500,000 in grants.
That's awesome.
So that can cover quite a lot. Applications are due June 11th and June 17th. There's two parts to it. So that's why I want to make sure I get those right date. But just think June 11th is the first part. So you need to be ready very soon for that.
We just had some discussions. So we do some door controls at our secondary buildings. And there's been some interest in that expanding to our other buildings, but also to complement what we already have going. And that was some of the discussion I had with my superintendent about, you know, you can use local money. You could wait for maybe your school district does bond issue stuff. But man, really, if you're looking, like, try for the grant.
Yeah.
Our state had some safety money as well. Like, be on the lookout. You're going to get that stuff going far better with a grant or with some extra money as opposed to trying to get your school board or whatever, just use some local money and throw at it, you know?
Yeah, and obviously all these things take maintenance, so you definitely want to make sure that you check in with your leadership to make sure that you are, if you're going to be buying stuff through the grant that has ongoing licenses, repair costs, all that kind of stuff, make sure that you're looped in with your folks before you commit your district to that. All right, let's go to this. This is a little bit more fun. So are you familiar with Turnitin?
Yeah.
Turnitin. They are a service that has been around for a very long time. They check, students can turn their papers into the service, hence the name Turnitin.
Clever.
And it's very good. Oh, that's another company with a clever name there.
Mm.
And what they do is they look at that work to see if it is unique, if it's been copied from the internet. They, about a year ago, launched an AI writing detection tool. So now they're looking to see if writing contains any sort of AI. And they released some stats on the first year of this tool. So for context, Turnitin, their AI writing service, since its launch in April of 2023, has reviewed 200 million student pieces of student work. So that's a pretty good sample size. Yep. There's two percentages. The percentage of students' papers that contain at least 20% AI writing, and then the percentage of papers containing at least 80% writing. So let's start with the first one. Chris, what's your prediction? How many students are turning in pieces of work that contain at least 20% of AI writing?
I'm going to say 30.
Ooh, that's high. It's okay. Much lower. It is 11%.
Okay. I was hoping it was going to be lower.
Yeah. But you got to think, if you're a teacher and you got a class of 22 students, that means that two students, every class, are submitting some work with a portion of AI. At least 80%. What do you think?
Okay, what's that question? At least 80%?
The percentage of student papers that have contained at least 80% AI writing.
Okay, so that's got to be like a low number, like a 2%.
Close, it's 3%. So
okay.
Low. I think I would have guessed higher if I didn't know the first one. I think, yes, I would have guessed that it was higher. But still, you know, that's, if you're going back to the example of a high school teacher and you've got four classes a day, about 100 students, you're getting three pieces of like almost fully AI written content. Fascinating. They're also pointing to the number of discipline incidents related to AI plagiarism is rising quite steeply as well. So you're seeing those numbers rise from 48% last school year to 64%. So
did that dig into any details on like what kind of paper? I mean, I guess they were papers that were supposed to be self-written.
Yeah. It does not, let me just double check again. It does not break it out by like subject area. It's just kind of looking at AI writing. So could be all subjects. I don't know like how accurate these tools are though. I've definitely submitted paper into these, like, you know,
yeah.
is this AI? And it gives you a percentage, like, I'm 60% sure, I'm 0%, you know, I'm 100% sure that this is all human rated and that kind of stuff. But I just don't know how accurate those are. I've heard mixed reviews.
It random makes me think about when I was a kid. When I was in, like, I don't know, fourth grade, fifth grade, I loved writing stories. Okay. And I would write them in Word or whatever it was. And I love using the thesaurus.
Yeah.
And it let me look up words that I didn't know before. And, like, you know, it helped me with my writing. Just the same as before technology, I would have used the book to go look that up. And people would compliment me on my writing because of the words I use. Well, it was because I cheated. You know what I mean?
That's
fine writing. That's creative writing. When you look for words that are better words, you know, you're learning. You're learning, like, you're adding to your vocabulary.
I love that you have, like, 30-year-old guilt for using a thesaurus.
I don't, though. That's what I'm getting at. Like, these kids, they're just using AI. Like, it's just helping them write.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
I think it goes back to, like, if you're a teacher, letting students know when they can and when they cannot. Just like your thesaurus. Here's an example of when you can use a thesaurus and when you can't. Kind of same thing with AI. So, I don't know. I've definitely used AI, both personally and in the workplace. And I actually think those numbers are going to increase. Not need to, but I think they're going to increase the number of percentage of students using AI. So, all right, my last story. I'm kind of excited about this one because it's more of a hot topic related to politics. So the big news over the last week or so has been the United States government blocking TikTok, which I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, but Chris, you are actually a TikTok influencer.
I like once a year, Black Friday, November, Thanksgiving stuff. My wife and I, we just post videos. It's not Black Friday shopping is not what it used to be. But for years and years, we post on social media our shopping escapades.
And you have videos that are like 600,000-700,000 views.
You know, they do okay. There's one where I'm in, like, Sam's Club, and there's a karaoke machine, and I sing Michael Bublé on, like, full volume or whatever, and that got a lot of views.
Yeah, you know what it is, though? I think most of the videos are your wife looking at you and disapproving of what you're doing, and I think that goes well with the TikTok audience.
It's a weird deal. Like, people really like me on TikTok, like the audience, but she's like the villain. Like, I have to get on there and, like, defend her. Like, they call her names.
Oh, really?
They're like, there's no way this marriage is going to last.
Wow.
Like, people are super mean on there. And then, like, my feelings get hurt because they're like, no way that guy caught her. She's way out of his league. People are mean, but it's all for the views, man.
Well, you know, the controversy right now with TikTok is that the United States government has put forward and has been signed by the president this time I'm going to choose my words carefully, force the sale of TikTok.
Yeah. What's going to happen?
There's lots of theories. We could probably do a whole episode on that one. My theory is nothing for a long time. It's going to be dragged out. But going back to the ed tech world, why this is relevant, there is an ed tech company called Tutor.com. And they are also getting dragged into the problem now because they are primarily owned by a Chinese investment firm. And so there is starting to be grumblings. It's starting to hit the news. I think it's going to start to grow. I think it's only going to grow, I believe, into some outrage or at least a lot of headlines about Tutor.com. They're invested by Primavera. They're a Chinese investment firm. However, Tutor.com was founded in Delaware over 10 years ago. Now, a lot of companies are founded in Delaware due to a lot of, you know, Delaware's mm-hmm. rules and legislation around company ownership. So the fact that they're founded in Delaware, I do think is mostly related to taxes, not necessarily like this is where the people live. But so there's some, you know, it's a US-based company invested by a Chinese company. But there is a lot of politicians who are starting to raise concern about this one. And most recently, the Florida Department of Education has come out and said that districts should not be contracting with Tutor.com.
Like we're getting like bad tutoring.
Yeah. Yeah. this is going to start to grow. There's also a proposed bill to ban it from the Department of Defense. Before you start to think, why is the Department of Defense contract with Tutor.com? Keep in mind that DoDEA, one of the largest school districts in the country, if not the largest, because they run all the military base schools.
Yep.
There's also a federal bill to ban Department of Defense from investing in Tutor.com. So because the U.S. government oversees that budget, they can directly influence if that service is used within their schools. I think that's going to start to grow a little bit, especially as the TikTok conversation grows. So keep an eye on that one. I am not advocating one way or the other as to whether or not we should be looking at this one, but I'm just raising this as this is going to start to get added to the K-12 conversation very soon.
It's super interesting.
Very.
Very. Because we're kind of saying that innovations that take place outside of the U.S. should stay out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. Well, so I got to share this article about this because I found myself there going for like point to counterpoint, point to counterpoint. And I'm like, Oh, that's a good point. And you get to the next one, I'm like, well, that's also a good point.
Sure.
So there's...
Sure, we're from the U.S. We want U.S. to be the best, right?
Yeah. Well, part of the point was this is a U.S. company. Like there's just money invested from... outside the country into this particular app. So like,
are they insinuating that what are they, is there any actual anything against Tutor.com? Like that they're doing something with the data, that they're teaching our children incorrectly?
Great question. I think it's very similar to the TikTok. I think it's similar to the TikTok argument of, well, we don't have any evidence that it is, but we just want to be careful. Like we want to err on the side of caution just in case.
It's not like, man, we got a bunch of kindergartners that think 2 + 2 = 5. What's the common thing? Tutor.com?
Exactly. Exactly.
Not
so,
okay.
Yeah, no. None of that yet. Actually, one of the counterpoints too is part of their investment requirements, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States actually has to have a data security officer to monitor and ensure compliance. So, yeah. There's a lot of good points on both sides of this. This is just Tutor.com. Like I said, TikTok is the same problem that's going on with them. There might be others that start to come out as well. There's a lot of money coming from China as well. A lot of money coming from outside the country. So I don't know if this is a fad, this whole like let's divest in any sort of companies that are outside the United States or let's ban them. But something for us to think about.
Well, it goes into... What you guys talked about last episode, what we've talked about in the past is proxies and VPNs.
Yeah. Yeah.
The government can say all that, but there are kids coming up that are well versed in proxies and VPNs. And
yep.
I almost think it's like encouraging a kid to go against his government. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's instilling rebellion.
It'll be interesting.
Get political a little bit.
Well, so like when you ban one of these apps, like can you get around it? Can you get a VPN? Can you silo the apps? Of course you can. But it's like the same argument of, you know, Apple allows Google to be the default search engine because they know no one's going to go around those hoops and or not as many people are going to go around the hoops and change the search engine. It's the same thing here. If you get it off of the Apple stores and the Play and the Google stores, you're kind of killing the app.
Yep. Yep.
But for I don't know.
Sure on that. I didn't really think through that part because that's what they're wanting to do is take it out of the App Store. Like it's like done.
Yeah.
It's going to say, hey, Apple, you can't let TikTok be an app anymore within the US.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the, as we see all the other lawsuits right now with Apple and Google, like they're going to make it harder and harder to sideload apps as well. So I do think that in terms of the United States government's ability to enforce this, it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. My personal opinion, it's going to get dragged out in the courts for so long that by the time anything actually does happen, we'll have already moved on to another app.
Right.
So I think that's my prediction with TikTok. I think that's going to happen as well with some of these other apps that are getting and tools are getting thrown into the mix.
And that TikTok forecast was brought to you by Extreme. You can email dmayer@extremenetworks.com. A little side note, I'm getting a new Switch installed by our softball field tomorrow. And it is an Extreme Switch.
Can you unpack that for a second? You're installing a new Switch in your softball field?
Yes, so our softball field needs wireless to cover the entire field and the stands and the whole bit. So we built a structure next to it that's going to be for storage, for concessions. So we had to run fiber to that new building.
Wow.
We need because I'm trying to think future-wise with this thing, they might end up attaching a large building next to it, maybe even after I don't work here anymore, years and years away. So I went ahead and did the work of running fiber to that small building, putting a switch in there so we can, have access points, have cameras, cover the field, all that good stuff.
Okay.
A little bit extra.
That's a little extra. I've never heard of a switch in a softball field. I've also never heard of fiber to a concession stand, but
yeah, you know. I did it. Fiber to a concession stand.
That's another thing too. I also recognize that New England, like, concession stands are a very, very different thing in my world than they are with yours.
We're slinging like not like chili cheese nachos and hot dogs and popcorn. I don't know what you guys are doing up there, but
like a bake sale table with some brownies half bag of chips.
I mean, not to say it's a great meal, but I mean, you can get your cheeseburger, you can get your meal.
Okay.
With fast internet.
All right, that's it for the news. Should we shift on? We had some listener emails.
We do. Let me pull those up. So I think we have like 3 listener emails to get through. I love listener emails, so keep these things coming. Listener Dan, who is listener Dan, here's some trivia for you, Mark. Do you recall Mark on a Buffalo?
Yeah.
This is listener Dan that made Mark on a Buffalo.
Oh my God.
But this is all good stuff. He's just talking tech with us today. He said that his school district, they went down a little bit of a research rabbit hole, looking at replacement firewall candidates, and they came across cyberratings.org. And it puts all of the big players to the test as far in terms of effectiveness, and it's good stuff. Like, there's a list of firewalls. They give a rating. They talk about security effectiveness. They talk about throughput. Some good stuff to look at. So if you're looking at, refreshing or changing out your firewall, you might check out this website, cyberratings.org. Had you looked at this before, Mark?
No, I probably could have used that about 6 months ago. Really would have needed that thing about 6 months ago. But very cool.
Like a good website, and they have some, good results posted that you can really dig into. So Dan just wanting to spread the word.
That's awesome. Thank you, Dan.
On it.
Hey,
my firewall is ranked okay on there.
You know, speaking of listeners, we didn't have a chance to talk about this at the top of the show, but we had some big news this week.
Some crazy news.
And it was not your airline status.
We hit what, 100,000 downloads.
Yeah.
And that is a crazy number.
And that's just the audio numbers. It doesn't include video and other mediums. So very cool.
Yeah, very cool. A shout out, of course, to everyone that's listening to this. In particular, those that have been, that have been around with us for a long time.
Yeah.
Dan, you're one of those people. Excited for the future. Excited what we got going on, though, for sure.
Very cool.
All right, next one from listener Glenn, talking about your proxy conversation last week. He said your discussion of blocking all the top-level domains doesn't scratch the surface. He thinks the bigger pain is the use of afraid.com domains, how they can mask proxies, how it delivers free DNS, literally dozens of new domains a week. He's been trying to figure out how to do that, but it's just not an easy service. I know that you guys kind of touched on that just a little bit.
Yeah.
He said this sentence about, while kids using proxies to play games is annoying, the bigger issue is that, like any proxy, it's going to enable that some different attacks could happen maliciously. You know, an attacker trying to grab your credentials. What say you? What you guys? Do you have any follow up on that, Mark?
No, I mean, I think just, you know, as we talked about, it's whack-a-mole, and then he, you know, it was a Glenn. He just brought up more issues around these different domains that are popping up every day. The funniest one that I think is, when I have to explain what a proxy is, I'll use the example of archive.org. Years ago, we found that students were using archive.org. If you've ever used that, the Wayback Machine, where you can see what a website looked like 5, 6, 7 years ago. Well, they're using that to like visit other web, you know, inappropriate websites, because our systems think that you're going to archive.org, but you're really seeing like, what was porn website looking like 3 years ago? And so there's just so many ways around it. It's never ending. It's not something that we in our seats can fix. I think this is where we need our vendors and partners to help us, but it's hard. It's really, really hard.
I just had some middle school student antics this week with them going to websites that they shouldn't go to. And I mean, you know, we have many different systems in place to do content filtering for the teachers to watch the screens, but they're still finding ways to try to circumvent those things. And some of the discussion was like, yes, they are finding ways to circumvent things. And, you know, that is bigger than a tech solution sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's always going to be that way. You know, the whole deal on like, they saw an image that they shouldn't have seen.
Yeah.
But they were on page 37 of Google Image. Like, why was the kid on page 37? How, like, why, you know, he didn't strike gold until page 37. How did he have that much time in the class?
Yeah.
You know, there's some other discussions that can be taking place.
The thing that makes my skin crawl the most is when I hear stories of, you know, a teacher wanted to show images, so she put up Google Images and just like did a rough search or raw search live on a projector. I'm like,
there. I've done that. That was almost real bad. So I do some church youth group stuff, right?
So
I'm like with a bunch of middle schoolers and high schoolers, and I'm winging a presentation, and you know, here's YouTube video and here's some stuff on the side that isn't really appropriate. And you're just, hey guys, don't worry about that. Let's pray. Everybody close their eyes.
I mean, YouTube's not terrible, but there's a day with Google Images where, and it kind of shows your age. If you're scared of Google Images, then you're old enough to remember the days when you could search something completely normal and you got an eyeful of, next letter here, next email.
All right. So this is a listener, Matt. Hey, and I'm going to throw in a sponsor here. So this is probably going to be our longer conversation of these listener emails too, but we want to give a shout out to Howard. You can email Seth Shockley, sshockley@howard.com. They pride themselves on being a one-stop shop for all your technology needs. They can do your computers. They can do your AV. They can do your networking, physical security, cybersecurity, and more. They can help you find a solution that's going to work for your environment. So email Seth over at howard.com. So this is listener Matt. He posted this. He emailed this as a listener email But he also posted this. Actually, I saw him post this on K-12 Tech Pro. And then in the Missouri Discord, he posted it there as well. So Matt is really trying to figure out how he's going to attack this problem. So this is what he said. He said, we've had an increase in contractors at our school district due to the limited number of staff available for special services. So talking about, you know, occupational therapy, physical therapy, that kind of stuff. With that comes many different communications throughout the district with a number of staff members. You know, those people need to talk to a teacher. Those people need to talk to a principal. Those people need to talk to the office. In the past, we wouldn't create accounts. However, our contractors are now requiring a district account as part of their agreement. Their reasoning is to keep communication within the district private. And he quoted that. And then he says some of this actually makes sense, makes good sense. We know the sensitive nature of the communications. And in this case, you know, it's going to remain district communications. So the simple question he's then asking is, what are your thoughts? And then I know on K-12 Tech Pro, he also asked about student teachers. So kind of a twofold thing. But I think let's talk about contractors and let's talk about how we handle student teacher accounts too.
Contractors are hard. I feel like I have the opposite of, you know, and contractors insisting on using their own accounts, their own domain accounts. I, generally speaking, I will want a contractor to be within our system. So we have the ability for a department or a school to make an account, a district account for their contractors. And I encourage that anytime you've got a contractor who's providing like an ongoing service. You know, I don't know what kind of contractors they're referring to in this one. I mean, we're not going to give a construction worker an account. There's no right. need for them to do that. But like maybe a supervisor for a project or, you know, definitely an IT or data contractor who's doing like ongoing more day-to-day work with us would likely have an account.
And I think he's really talking about like a health service coming in. And they're going to do one-on-one work with a student that they'd prefer a district account.
Yeah. I think there's kind of two parts to it that I'll answer this one. I mean, the first is if I've got somebody who's teaching a class or doing ongoing work, like basically doing a direct service to our students, they're going to get an account.
Mm-hmm.
I want them in our account. I want the emails, the communications, the shared documents more than anything to stay internal. And it's also, it helps us to kind of create that walled garden. So, you know, rather than having a teacher get into the habit of sharing stuff and files with Gmail accounts and personal accounts, I'd much rather have that stay within the house.
Yeah. And there's some good stuff here. Like, oh, you're demanding an account. Well, I demand MFA and I demand this training, like I demand these things. There's good in that.
I think too, if you want to take a bite out of like unprotected spreadsheets and, you know, a spreadsheet shared with a random account that you don't know who that is, like in 5 years down the road saying, how did this folder or SharePoint get shared to these accounts or these people? Like, if you want to take a bite of that problem, you have to get in the habit of creating accounts for people who are working in your school, period. Otherwise, you're never going to be able to tackle that issue. My only hesitation, though, is if I have a contractor who, and this is kind of a slippery slope or a hard one to describe, but if that account is going to benefit that person financially. So, and it's not necessarily the accounts, but more like other services. So there's some times where we have like a doctor's office in a school where they're providing services to our students, but also like they're billing, they're, you know, receiving funds like that. I'm a hard no on that. Like I'm going to get into an issue with E-rate. I'm going to get an issue with licensing. Like you are using a district asset to accrue revenue.
Right.
That's where I'm going to draw the line and say, like, no. You have to bring your own internet. You've got to bring in your own phones. You've got to bring in your own IT services because you're billing somebody for this service.
Because that should have been part of the initial conversation.
Exactly.
You know, those things always come up like, hey, can we get a laptop? Or hey, can we get access to the internet while we're here? That should have been part of the contract. Where you figured all that out.
And I like hate to like bang this drum, but I'm always like, look, I would love to, but E-rate, I'm not allowed to. We're all going to get in trouble if we do that. So you just have to bring in another line. And this happens a lot to us. Like as a big district, this happens quite a lot where we have contractors and there's some gray areas, and if we just draw make it black and white and say, no, if you are external and providing an external service, doctor, it's a, we're hands off.
I've only had it come up a few times. I can think of, we had a, it's kind of like an alternative school or a tutoring service, that it made sense. It made sense for us to give an account because their people kept changing. So our people knowing who to email, it made more sense for us to have some management of it, that we were controlling that. So we could tell our people who the point of contact was, whatever, because they're literally in our system. It just made sense. And then there's a local college that comes in and helps with kids. And they need like a projector and they need these things. Rather than do like a cart and all this crazy stuff, it made more sense. Like, hey, you can use the computer here. Like you can be in this room. You can log into Windows here. You can have access here. I've always been big though. Like, let's just not give it without any, like, they need to sign something, do something. There has to be some stuff attached to it. Don't do it
totally
freely. Put some meat to it for sure. What about, go ahead.
No, I think we're going to ask the same question. You had a second group to that.
Yes. So what about student teachers? So not substitutes.
Yep.
What about student teachers that come in for a short period of time and then they're out of Dodge?
Absolutely. Same thing. I want them to be in the system. I want student grades and curriculum shared within the domain. So I want more than anything we've talked about, I want student teachers in an account.
We do the same. And to kind of get into the details of it, when you are a student teacher, at my school district, you fill out the same technology paperwork as if you're a substitute teacher. And at my school district, a sub and a student teacher are given a Windows account. So you can have access to the classroom computer. You can have access to the interactive board. You can have access to all the classroom tools because you're in on Windows. And then if you're wanting Google, if you're wanting email, if you're wanting Drive, you have to do some additional training. So we want you to do that training. And it's only going to take less than 30 minutes to knock that training out. And even I spent about, it's like a 15-minute video of me talking and going over the basics of our website and the basics of the technology tools in each classroom, just to describe it. So they have to watch that video. So they sign up for that video to get the Google account, but then they receive more training about just the classroom in general because they signed up for that.
Yeah.
I make them do a Google form, like a quiz, to evaluate that they watched the video. They have to get 80%.
Yep.
And then I make them send a test email to prove that from their personal account, they know how to email. And then we have like a live, just open to anyone internally Google Doc. We make them type in it, like they have to type their name in it to prove that they can access a Google Doc. And if they do all that,
That's a lot of work,
but it's less than an hour. If they do all that, I give them a Google account. They can't email and do stuff externally. It's all just within our district, but we have a lot of, that's kind of how I snuck in, like, hey, we're going to train these people.
Okay. Appreciate
because,
that.
Because, let's see, I'm going to say, I won't tell you if this is at current school district or previous. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Hiring a person that hasn't had training, I get an email where the entire email content is in the subject line.
Those are my favorite.
You know, that shouldn't have happened. And I would be able to, and I can nip that through the training. I can teach email etiquette and subject versus content.
That's incredible that you do all that stuff. I'm proud of you.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Do you ever run into, and this is my like in the back of my mind, this has happened once or twice, where suddenly like you've got a license count that's kind of going up and you're like, ooh, I think I need to drop, either increase the license count or like stop licensing contractors and student teachers on this particular service.
Mm-hmm.
That does happen.
It's a great debate.
What do you do?
I
suppose it probably depends.
Yeah. Yes. And in Google admin land, I play a lot with our custodial staff that have accounts and our paraprofessionals. Those are licenses that I sometimes will stare at to see who needs what.
Yeah.
Because some of those are, they've received licenses that they're not, some of them aren't using.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I'll play a little game.
Yeah.
I like playing games with licensing. And that segment, hey, Mark, were you not just proud of me, but were you Florida proud of me?
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
Fortinet, a proud sponsor of the K-12 Tech Talk podcast. You can email FortaPodcast@Fortinet.com.
Well done.
Thank you.
Chris?
That's all I have.
I'll be seeing you next week.
In D.C.
In D.C.
Are you coming during the day?
No, at nighttime.
Okay. So I'm getting there a little bit before you. I'm going to get a scooter. I'm going to go see all the things on a scooter. It would be nice because we're going to pick a restaurant or something to meet at, right?
Something like that, yeah.
I'm going to I'm going to have you go there.
Okay.
And then I'm going to pull up on a scooter. Like, you'll be standing outside and I'll scoot up to you. It should be.
I'll know it's you because you'll have like bandages and like bloody elbows.
I got this from the Lincoln. It should be good.
Got here my voucher.
Ah. All right, Josh, we miss you. I guess we'll see ya.
Yeah. See you next week.
Yep. Email us, k12techtalk@gmail.com. Follow us on X, on LinkedIn. Hang out with us on K-12 Tech Pro. K-12 Tech Pro is not just hanging out. There's professional development there. Post your questions. Give some answers. Help the community. See you guys later.
See ya. The views and opinions expressed on the K-12 Tech Talk podcast are the personal opinions of Josh, Chris, and Mark, and do not represent the views or opinions of our sponsors or other organizations that we're affiliated with. The material and information presented here is for general information and entertainment purposes only. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.